Well, hello, and thanks for tuning in to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew Monona, and we bring you these verse by verse Bible teachings through the money that we earn at the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is a hand car wash that my wife and I started about a year ago, and we started this business for the sole purpose of being able to fund and support this ministry. We believe that the Word of God in all of its entirety, that's why we do verse by verse, we believe that it's not only important, but it's imperative that this world hears the Word of God in all of its entirety and all of its truths, that we don't pick apart God's Word and only preach the parts that we like or the parts that feel good or the parts that are easy to explain. By going verse by verse, we are all forced to hear once in a while parts of God's Word that we're uncomfortable with. And listen, as a preacher of God's Word in that style, I'm uncomfortable preaching a lot of his stuff. Some of it I don't understand. Some of it's difficult to explain. Some of it makes me uncomfortable in my personal life. But listen, do we really have the liberties of picking which parts of God's Word we decide we want to hear? Do we really have the liberties to pick apart God's Word and decide which parts of it we want to preach? Or more importantly, which parts of it we want to obey? Friends, the Word of God is meant to be preached in all of its entirety, and that's what we do here. That's why we have the car wash. We started it as a way to earn money. We support this ministry by the money we earn. So if you believe in verse-by-verse Bible teaching, come on by the car wash. Let us work to earn the money it takes to keep this ministry alive. We don't ever ask for tithes or charities or giftings or anything like that. We just want your business. We do a good job at a fair price. All right, that's the end of the commercial. Let's get back into verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 14. If you missed any of the sermons leading up to this, or if you want to get caught up on it, or if you have any questions about the ministry or about the business, we invite you to go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can download and listen to messages from the past for free. You can download and share them with other people. And of course, you have, again, all the information about the business and the ministry. So getting back into our verse-by-verse teaching, we're in the book of 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 14, and Paul is dealing with orderly worship. And we've already discussed in detail about tongues. We've discussed the orderly worship regarding the use of tongues within the body. And now we're going to look a little bit more closer at the orderly worship as it includes other gifts. And we ended our last teaching talking about the ingredients of a cake. And I said that if I were to eat a raw egg, and then I were to eat a cup of flour, and then I were to eat a cup of sugar, and then I ate an entire stick of butter, and then I downed a teaspoon of vanilla, and then I just took a little bit of salt, and I ate all those ingredients, I'd probably get sick. But if I were to mix all those ingredients together first, bake them, well, then I would get a delicious and yummy cake. And this is the point Paul is trying to make here. He's trying to say, look, as members of one body, when we come together and function properly, just like a cake, when we add the right amount of ingredients and we mix them together properly, we get something delicious, something beautiful. And this is what he's trying to get back in the Corinthian church. You see, their order in their worship had gotten way out of whack. And friends, can I be as bold as to say that a lot of order in our churches today is out of whack? And I'm not saying people are just dancing and jumping and there's chaos ensuing, but even getting back to the Word of God, if we are not preaching and teaching all of His Word, then we are out of order. That we are injecting man's wisdom. We are injecting man's ear-tickling gospel instead of the life-changing, Holy Spirit convicting gospel. And so we're out of order if we are not preaching all of God's Word. If we are leaving out the parts about judgment and about hell and about sin, if we are leaving out the parts about Satan and demons, if we're leaving any of that out because we fear what it's going to do to the congregation or it's going to drive people out the door, well, God help us and God help the pastors and leaders of churches who are cherry-picking God's Word for that reason. And this is what Paul is trying to get back. He's trying to get back orderly worship. And that's more than just doing things in order. That is, you know, we come in, there's a fellowship time, there's some songs, there's the announcements, there's some more songs, there's the preaching, then there's the more fellowship. And it's okay to have that kind of an order, as long as it doesn't become tradition, as long as we're free to allow the Spirit to move and get us out of that order if need be. But more importantly, that even if we come out of that order, we're still staying in God's Word. And this is why I believe the mega church was never God's plan for His church. It's hard to take ownership in a church that large. There's another place here in the New Testament that Paul talks about the members of the body and the parts of the body, and that is the book of Romans. And surely he was writing to a large church there. And just like the church in Corinth was large because its city was such a great city. And it's safe to assume that these large churches had a problem with cohesiveness within the bodies, or within the body and within the members. That's why I believe that churches that begin to experience growth ought to break off and grow themselves in smaller numbers of more multitudes of places. Let's have more worship rather than one large worship. And as we do this, we are allowing other people to take their gifts and use them and put them into service. There are too many churches out there that are hindering the believers and the members of the church by protecting the gifts and the ministry that they are currently in. And by doing this, they're hindering the body from growing. And that is something that is out of order. And this is what God and Paul is trying to tell us here. He's trying to say, look, we have to get together. We have to be allowed and encouraged to use all of our gifts with one another for the sake of the body. The sake of edification. And this was the purpose that Paul was trying to get across here. This word edification, you don't hear all that much anymore in the church. And to be edified means to be built up. And that is the purpose of the church. And we should be coming to church, coming to the body, to see where God can use our gifts and our abilities so we may edify one another. For too long, too many Christians have the mindset that church is there for them. And it is, in a way, but if everybody sought to edify somebody else, and then they came to church with that mindset, the mindset of what can I give, not just get, well, I don't know. We may never know what a church like that looks like. And so, as we continue in our book, chapter 14, let's look at where we left off. Picking it up in verse 27, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the congregations of the saints, women should remain silent in the church. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Did the word of God originate with you, or are you the only people it has reached? If anybody thinks he is a prophet or a spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. If he ignores this, he himself will be ignored. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Now, let's stop right there. Wow, is there a lot in there we need to dissect? But I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. We've already discussed tongues. We've already discussed prophecy. But Paul does say that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the control of the prophet. This means that loud outbursts that we claim we have no control over is out of order. And With the time we have left, I need to probably address this issue of women remaining quiet in the church. This is one of those topics of scripture that most pastors would just leave alone rather than try to address, because that's, quite frankly, it's a tough scripture to comprehend. And there are only very few women I've ever met who understand what this scripture means as far as being silent in the church and submissive to the husbands and this sort of thing. First off, Paul was not a chauvinistic pig, okay? This isn't something he was doing from his own opinion. He traveled with women all the time, and he made mention of the great helps he had received from women quite often. So the problem here is not with women ministering in the church. Please, can you imagine what the church would look like if women stopped ministering in it? Because men were a pretty poor excuse for getting the jobs done that need to be done in the church. Remember, Paul is addressing a problem in this whole letter here. And this is what Paul is concerned about. It's confirmed here by his choice of words. Notice he doesn't say that it is forbidden for women to minister in the church, nor does he say it is forbidden for women to prophesy or to pray or to teach. He doesn't apply that term to any of these things. Women are forbidden, he says, to speak. That is, the woman should keep silence. They are not permitted to speak. And there, the word is laleio, which is the most common word for simple conversation or talking. That is all. That was the problem. You see, in that church, there was too much talking going on. And so we could well interpret it with the English word chatter. There was chatter going on. Women were entering in. They were taking it over. And women can get together. They can gossip and talk. And they got carried away sometimes. And sometimes it turned the meeting into some kind of sort of an open chatterbox of getting together. And this is why Paul really addressed that. Now, there is a submission factor with the man being subject to Christ and the woman being subject to men, but that's not what he's talking about here when it comes to speaking in the church. He's saying, let's get together, let's do it in order, and let's keep the order the way it should be. And if you need to get talky, do it amongst your own time. Do it at home with your husbands. Do it outside with your girlfriends somewhere else. But church isn't a place for us to get together and just chatter. I've come to so many home fellowships where all we had to do, it just became a social hour. And that's what Paul is concerned about here. Remember, edification. He's trying to get the church to be built up. And that's not going to happen if women are just getting together and just chatting. And it goes for men too. We have to be there specifically minded to do one thing. And listen, we go to church because we're supposed to go to church. This is where we belong, because we are there to be edified. And there are many women with deep theological and intellectual minds. I haven't met one yet, but I'm sure they're there. No, I'm just kidding. But verse 36 said, did the word of God originate with you? Are you the only people it has reached? Surely there are lots of women out there who should be and can be speaking in the church, but for the sake of edification. And this wasn't what was going on in the Corinthians church. So I hope that kind of clears up what's going on here when Paul talks about these things. And I guess we'll address one final question with the little bit of time we have left. Should a woman be a pastor of a church? Now, I'm going to go forward and probably make some people mad, but I believe no. I believe that the pastor leadership role was always meant to be for a man. That's not what I personally believe, because I believe it. I find it to be biblical. The shepherd of the church, God planted to be the head, and the head is supposed to be subject to Christ. So, I guess I'm ending with a little bit of opinion there. You can differ with me if you want. If you've been listening to these teachings for any length of time, just probably not the first time you're going to differ with what I've had to say. So I'm okay with that. At least I'm attempting to try to explain it, which is more than I can say for a lot of the preachers and pastors out there. Is that an indictment? Darn right it is. Let's get back to the Word of God. Let's get back to preaching all of it. And let's not be fearful of who it offends, because the Word of God was always meant to offend. Well, that's the end of this teaching. My name is Matthew Minona. Hope to see you at the Wash and Word. My wife, Victoria, my son, Matthew. We have a good group of people working with us. We can take care of your car, and This is how we earn the money to keep this ministry alive. Don't forget to come to Abundant Life Fellowship, 6 p.m. Sunday night. Have a good day.